Good morning.
Good morning.
We are delighted to be here with you this beautiful Sabbath day to bring greetings on behalf of Pacific Union College, your college in beautiful Napa Valley, California. I always like to remind our audiences that we are located, actually we're nestled in the spectacular mountains of Napa Valley, where we have 1,860 acres. And you may not know this, part of our history, but actually Pacific Union College moved to Angwin, California in 1909. At that time, our pioneers, our founders then, actually bought 1,600 acres, again on that mountaintop, Howell Mountain, for $60,000. What a wonderful investment they made. And so we're having a grand time there, really a mountaintop experience where we're sharing with 1,567 students a wonderful Christian education. And so we'll be having a special alumni luncheon right after the service today. And I'll be able to share with you at that time more highlights about PUCR, 3 years of enrollment growth, our facilities improvements on campus, again, the last 2.5 years since we've been there, and just some wonderful experience that the students are having in terms of service and mission work on campus. In that vein, though, will our PUC alums who are here today please stand? I'd like to see you. It's always good to see you.
Amen.
Amen. Now, what if you've ever worked at PUC? Keep standing. If you have ever been a faculty or a staff member at PUC, would you stand? Okay, I see some more folks standing here. If you've had children who've attended PUC, would you stand? Okay, here we go. If you have grandchildren who are attending PUC or who have, would you stand? Okay, we have a wonderful, wonderful PUC community. Thanks, by the way, to our wonderful musicians today, the Wareums. They're PUC alums. So again, we just want to say we're so thrilled to be here with you today. We'll be happy to bring more information, more highlights at our special luncheon. And I don't want to take more time because my husband, Dr. Norman Knight, is about to get up and do his sermon. So again, wonderful to see all of you. I'll see you a little bit more later. Thanks so much.
Good morning. I greet you in the name of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is a name that is above every other name. And one day soon, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. I want to thank the Heralds of Hope for that wonderful special music. When they started singing No Night, I nearly got up and left. I remember when I was at the seminary, I was the president of the seminary student forum, and one day I got on campus and a number of Hispanic students and seminarians and pastors, they got there and they surrounded me and they said, Norman, we just finished doing a Bible study and the Bible says that you're not going to be in heaven. I says, what? That's terrible. What are you talking about? I said, see, it says no night there. And I said, no, that's a noche, I'm caballero. So I'm gonna be with you in heaven, amen? It's always great to be in Palm Desert. I have to make this confession before I begin. Every time I come down here, I'm from Brooklyn, New York. I grew up in the Crown section of Brooklyn, New York, amongst a lot of Hasidic Jews, and as soon as I get down here, I always go over to Sherman's, the deli, and I gotta tell you, I snuck off and I went and got a chocolate egg cream. My wife, she raided my cookie stash the other day, so I just had to confess that I did go get a chocolate egg cream from Sherman's the other day. But it's excellent to be here with you today, and I do have a word from the Lord from you today. And I'm going to pick up on our Sabbath school theme today. I want to talk about the peace of God and prayer. The peace of God and prayer. With the end of the 12th chapter of the book of John comes the end of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. John 13 through 17 takes us from the crowded temple court into the calm atmosphere of the Feast of Fellowship in the upper room. There in that upper room, Jesus addresses his beloved disciples for the final time before his parousia. This was Jesus' farewell discourse before his death and resurrection. Looking around at every face of those disciples who were so very near and dear to his heart, Jesus tells them of his hope for them. He wanted to give them something that would keep them until the parousia. He had little to leave them materially. Even his clothes would soon become the property of the crucifixion death squad of the Roman soldiers. But there was one thing that Jesus desired to give them. John 14, 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you." And this was a mighty gift indeed. Now Jesus said, "Now this peace I leave with you, I give you not as the world gives, do I give you." You see, in those days, when you were leaving someone's presence or you were saying hello to a passerby, the usual greeting was, "Peace be unto you." But that word peace that they threw at each other had little to do with the peace of God. It meant little more than goodbye. Goodbye is a shortened version of an ancient prayer, "May God be with you." But today it means, "I've got to go now." Jesus was going away, but the peace he offered his disciples and the peace Jesus offers us to take us through whatever lay before us is not some condensed expression of words, but it is a real quietness of spirit. It is a peace that passes all understanding. The title of God's word for you today, this Sabbath day, is "The Peace of God." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I beg that you continue to abide in our midst right now. Do something wonderful here for everybody attending. And as usual, I beg that you anoint me with your spirit, Lord, for this sacred preaching hour, that I may preach your holy word with supernatural power. In Jesus' name, amen. I am a Bible preacher, that's all I know, and so our scriptural study today will come from Philippians, the fourth chapter of Philippians. The fourth chapter of Philippians. And I'll read verses 1 through 7 for our scriptural study today. "Therefore, my beloved and longed for, my brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be in the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I don't know about you, but with every passing day, I learn the value of the gift of peace. And I have also found that the peace of God, which is readily available to all of us, seems so hard to find and achieve in this sin-sick world. Perhaps it is because that when peace is found, it is a commodity that seems so hard to hold on to. Peace seems elusive, and it seems as though it's an illusion for so many of us. Yet I have come to the point in time when I treasure the gift of God's peace. Very often it seems that life is designed to give us everything except peace. and life is filled with so many distractions and impositions to take away the little peace that we do have. With the advent of the home invaders, you know what the home invaders are, right? The television, the radio, the internet, CDs, the iPods, the iPads, CD players, telephones. We have become a society that's addicted to noise. We are constantly being entertained. For many of our young people, silence is an alien concept. And thus we are unable to hear the still small voice of God to direct our path. We have got to get back to the point where we understand and accept the gift of silence. And yet my concern this Sabbath is not just with the noise on the outside. What concerns me is the confusion and the disturbance that has taken up residency status on our insides. It is not just that our outer world lacks peace, but is that our inner world has been denied the peace of God for whatever reason. It is a human tragedy among Seventh-day Adventists that we have not just simply lost control of the world around us, but we have lost control of the world within us. And thus we cannot serve God to the fullest. And that's the world of our hearts and our minds. Worldly experts are making millions with mere human wisdom and intellect, telling us how to gain control of ourselves. So many voices clanging and clamoring for our attention, telling us the answer is to win the image game. You know what that is, right? I'd rather look marvelous than feel marvelous. Or these experts will say, never settle for anything less than being number one. The drive for excellence at all costs is the answer. Or these experts might say, learn the art of thriving on chaos. You've heard of that, right? Or learn how to bend without breaking. But with all these different entities, with all their different self-interests vying for our attention and our possessions, all of them trying to just ways for us to prioritize our life and our personal lives so they can gain an advantage. Through all of that, I realize that all I simply want is the peace of God to keep my heart and mind. Who knows what I'm talking about today? So I constantly study the life of Paul and God's counsel to us through Paul. And as I viewed Paul's life, what struck me was that more than the pain he suffered, more than the trouble, more than the trials and tribulations that Paul faced, was the fact that Paul really had the peace of God. And when I read this letter to the Christian church that was located in Philippi, I am convinced that Paul had God's peace. Paul was cut off from his friends. No family members to support him with love. Continually at odds with the Jewish authority. Continually at odds with the Roman government and local laws. But Paul still had peace. He was a type of preacher for Jesus Christ that caused him to be the target of malicious gossip and vicious slander by his enemies. The name Paul and the word peace seems to be a contradiction in terms, incongruent, if you will. Read the epistles and you'll see what I'm talking about. Paul complained about the beatings and the torture that he had to suffer. He seems to be unstable because of what he describes as a war in my members. And who knows how many years he's had to walk around with a limp because of that thorn that was in his flesh that he was too ashamed to identify. But still, Paul writes about and claims as his own the peace of God. And if you study the Bible, you know that if there was any church where there was no peace, it was this church that was located at Philippi. It was at Philippi where Paul's name was scandalized. And it was at Philippi where he was falsely accused. He found himself arrested, thrown in solitary confinement in a local jail. And if that wasn't enough, two women, Euodia and Syntyche, had gotten into some kind of altercation. Am I in the word this morning? And it appeared that at Philippi, God's word and his church would be trampled underfoot. But still, in the midst of this confusion, Paul can still write, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So I wanted us to take a look at this peace of God so we all can possess it as we march to the kingdom of God. There is a jewel that is resident in this passage that will help us run this race of ours and handle these crazy lives of ours. So let's take a look at it. It says in verse 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayers and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." The Bible clearly says that the path to peace is through prayer. And now there ought to be somebody here that knows about the power of prayer. Over and over again, the Bible entreats you to take everything to Jesus in prayer. The reason why there is no power in some of our lives is because there's no constant, sustained prayer in our lives. I read somewhere that it said, "Little prayer, little power, much prayer, much power." Well, I turned that around. You know, it says, "Much prayer, much power, little prayer, no power." When I was a boy, I used to listen to the senior Adventists, and they used to sing, "Oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." Somebody here knows that prayer is not merely speaking words or vain repetition. Somebody here knows what it means to call on God and get an answer. There is power in saying, "Father, I stretch forth my hand to thee. No other help I know." There is power in prayer. Paul said, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, that through prayer and supplication. Now, that means that it's not simply through prayer, but it's through supplication, through specific prayer. We must understand the value of being specific with God in prayer. Not just praying, but being specific in prayer. God doesn't want any generic prayer. We need to be specific with God in prayer. We need to be to the point with God in prayer. We need to be focused, concrete, definite, exact, explicit, precise. We don't want to pray to whom it may concern. I remember there was a old deacon. You know, I love old deacons. They teach me a whole lot. An old deacon, I was preaching once, and I had just had shoulder surgery. I had had bursitis, and I had dealt with the bursitis for over a year, and the doc said, "Listen, we're just going to go and clean out the bursa." So he went in and cleaned out the bursa. So I was at church the following week, and the old deacon came over to me and said, "Pastor, I'm going to pray for you. I'm a prayer warrior, and I'm going to pray for you. Now. And he took out a little book, and he had a little stub of a pencil, and he said, now, Pastor, now, what's your name?" And I said, "Norman Knight." He said, now, don't you have a middle name?" And I said, "Yes, Norman Gladstone Knight." He said, "Happy Rocks?" No, I said, "Gladstone." So he wrote down, "Norman Gladstone Knight." He said, "What's your address?" And I said, "Well, 55 Las Posadas Road, Anguin, California, 94508. Okay, Anguin, California, 94508. I said, "Okay, now, what shoulder did you have surgery on?" And I said, "Well, the left shoulder." He said, now, was it above the arm or over the arm? I said, "Right inside there." He said, "Now, was it throbbing pain or jetting pain?" I said, "Well, this was throbbing pain." And he said, "It was constant throbbing pain." I said, "Yes." I said, "Now, Elder, what are you doing?" And I said, now, I got to tell you, now, he just want to go over this with you. He said, now, Norman Gladstone Knight, not Happy Rocks, 55 Las Posadas Road, Anguin, California, left shoulder above, throbbing, constant pain. And he said, I got to tell you why I do this. When I was a young man, I used to have real wavy hair. And you can see my hair is practically gone on the top of my head. I used to have wavy hair. And you can see it's gone. And I prayed one day for the Lord, Lord, give me some hair. And I got to tell you, the Lord always answers the prayer of his people. Amen? I got to tell you, Pastor, I got bushy eyebrows. My beard is here. I got a patch of hair on the back. Lord knows where that thing came from. I got hair getting out of my ears, but not a stitch of hair on the top of my head. I've learned the value of being specific with God in prayer. I think he might have learned that from good King Hezekiah. Good King Hezekiah in Isaiah, the 37th chapter, the Assyrians sent good King Hezekiah a letter. And the letter said, listen, we're coming up to Judah, and we're going to ransack Judah. We're going to desecrate the sanctuary. We're going to kill all the young men, take all the women back with us. We're going to take all the spoils of Judah with us. There's nothing you can do. Wait, because we're on our way. And the Bible said that good King Hezekiah took that letter and he went to his prayer place. And the Bible says he spread the letter before the Lord. And I could see him saying, now, Lord, I want you to look at every syllable, every word, every phrase, and work this thing out for the better. If you have a problem on your job, you need to be specific about what is going on so the Lord can change things for the better. You have to learn how to be specific with God in prayer. If your children or your grandchildren will not act right, be specific. Ask God to put that child or grandchild in a position to choose Jesus before it's too late. Whatever you want, be specific. If you want a husband or wife, you better learn how to be specific. Or you might just get a man or a woman. Who knows what I'm talking about? We better learn how to be specific with God in prayer. It's really true that Jesus is on the main line. Just call him up and tell him what you want. If you are sick and can't get well, tell him what you want. If you want your body healed, tell him what you want. Just call him up and tell him what you want. There's power in specific prayer. Paul said that he had peace. But the way to achieve peace was to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. Then he says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's the King James Version. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now note, the King James Version does not say, let your requests be made known unto God with thanksgiving. It reversed it. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The path to personal peace is not only by prayer and is not only by specific prayer, but it is also by expectant thanksgiving. Who knows what I'm talking about? Expectant thanksgiving. Even before we make our requests known to God, even before we get specific with God on what it is that we want, don't forget to throw some thank yous to God in your prayer. Thank you not only for the blessings that God has already showered you with over the years, but also for answered prayer requests God is getting ready to give you. We must learn how to thank God for blessings we don't have yet, but are getting ready to receive. God already knows what we need before we ask, and he already has prepared for you what you need before you need it. And God has already opened the door before you see the door. And God already made the way before you even find the way. So before you even start out to make your requests, you need to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for always being right on time. Thank you for loving me when I didn't love myself. Thank you, Lord, for picking me up when I was down. Thank you for setting my feet on solid ground. Thank you for looking beyond my faults and dealing with my needs. I'm talking about expectant thanksgiving. In other words, before you get that new job, say thank you. Before you ask for that raise on your job, say thank you. Before you buy that new house, say thank you. Before you get that lab report back from the doctor, say thank you. Before you get that biopsy report back, say thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Well, I'm going to stop now, but I'm not certain about this peace of God which Paul has written about. I'm not certain about it. You see, there's somebody here that knows what it is to pray, and you still don't have any peace. You've been praying some specific prayers, but still your heart and mind are perplexed and disturbed. You've been praying specific directed prayers, and it just looks like your prayer still doesn't get answered. And you have been praying your prayers of thanksgiving, but it still doesn't seem to be enough. There is still an emptiness that you can't fill. There still seems to be a void which you just can't escape. No peace down in the inside. No peace. You may be blessed, but blessings and peace are not the same thing. Blessed with a lovely house to live in, but no peace in the home. Blessed with achievements more than you can measure, but no peace in your mind. Blessed with power and position in your job or your community, but you are still a mess on the inside because there's no peace. So I just want to give you two more points that will help you. And then I'll be done. Two more points to help you, and I'll be done. The first thing is, we're not recording this, are we? No. I want to come down here. Can I have a microphone? Are any one of these microphones working? Which one of these mics? Okay. The first thing is that you must ask when you pray. Pray in the name of Jesus. We have to pray in the name of Jesus. And that's biblical. That's John 15:16. John 15:16. You always have to pray in the name of Jesus if you want your prayers answered. And I didn't understand this until I became a dad, until I became a father. We have eight college-educated children. We have a blended family. We have eight college-educated. Two of our oldest sons are attorneys, one in L.A., one in San Diego, have a son in the seminary, a daughter getting a doctorate in Indiana University. They're all college-educated. We have a daughter at Pacific Union College. Amen? She loves it there. But let me just talk about my oldest son, Rakim. My oldest son, I call him the champ. He's an attorney in Los Angeles, and he's done everything I've asked him to do. I love Rakim. Rakim is my hero. He's done it right, and he takes care of his brothers and sisters, and he rules the Lawyers Basketball League in Los Angeles. He's he's great. He just went out on business. He had the Knight Law Group after 10 years with Manat Feltz and Phillips and Wolf Rifkin and Shapiro. He went out on his own, so he's an attorney on his own, and he motivates all of the rest of his. I love Rakim. Now, someone comes to my door up in Angwin, knocks on my door in the middle of the night, and said, listen, my car just broke down, and I don't know anyone here. Could you please let me in and use a telephone and help me fix my car and let me stay the night? Do you think I'm going to let that person in my house? It could be an axe murderer, you know what I'm saying? But not in Angwin, but if I live somebody, I don't know, maybe if I live, I don't know, but... I'm from New York City. You don't let people in your house in the middle of the night. But if someone came to my door in the middle of the night, knocked on my door and said, listen, my car just broke down and I'm in trouble. Could you help me? Let me in, use your phone. And by the way, I went to USC Law School with Rakim and he's my buddy and we took law classes together there. And what do you think I'm gonna do? I'm gonna let him come in and talk to him and fix, I'll go out and fix his car. My wife will fix him an entire meal and I'll make sure that he's taken care of. Why? Because he conjured up my son's name, my beloved son's name. And I realized that I would do anything for the son. One time Rakim said he wanted me to help him get a friend of his into college and I was so busy. I'm thinking in my mind, I don't have time to do anything else with what I'm doing. And then you know what Rakim said? He said, Daddy, do it for me. And as soon as he said that, you know, my heart just melted. I said, okay, give me all the information. And we got the kid in school. But because they conjured up the son's name, I would do anything for the son. God the Father will do anything for Jesus Christ. So when you pray in the Father, in Jesus' name, the Father will do anything for you. Two more things I have to give you, and then I'll sit down. The second thing is, I have to read this to you. Proverbs 28:9. Proverbs 28:9. You want your prayers answered. I would be remiss if I didn't give this to you. Proverbs 28:9. This is from the New King James Version. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. The Message Bible. God has no use for the prayers of the people who won't listen to him. The New International Version. If anyone turns a deaf ear to my instructions, even their prayers are detestable. The Contemporary English Version. God cannot stand the prayers of anyone who disobeys his law. The Good News Translation. If you do not obey the law, God will find your prayers too hateful to listen. I'm not going to add anything to that. I just had to give that to you. The final thing. Jesus was on the Mount of Blessings, and he had just finished talking to the people, and he gave them a wonderful, wonderful sermon. And then he gave them a model. This is in Matthew, the 6th chapter, a model on how you're supposed to pray. It's called the Lord's Prayer, our Father, right? And we weren't supposed to memorize that, and when we want to talk to the Lord, repeat it. But all that Lord's Prayer, all the elements should be included in our prayer. And when he was done, there was only one aspect of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus expounded on when he was finished. There was only one aspect of it, and that was verses 14 and 15 of Matthew. Jesus said, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." A lot of our prayers are not being answered because we refuse to forgive someone who might have bruised our sensitive feelings 20 years ago. And some of these rascals are so hard to forgive. Some of these rascals have done us some detestable things. But if that is the case, you pray to God to take them and deal with them. You gotta forgive them. This is not something that I'm saying. This is the word of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. So please learn to forgive and God will bless you. Well, I'm on my way to my seat. Can anybody just play something softly on the piano? Because I preach all day if someone doesn't play something very, 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 very soft on the piano. I've been struggling to find out what it is that makes this a peace that passeth all understanding. What is it about this peace that human intellect cannot comprehend? What is it about this peace that places it in a realm above human understanding? What is it about this peace where human reason and logic have no power? Well, the reason why some of us have our peace is because we need some sustained, quiet time with God to form that close, personal relationship with Jesus. Please, just like you spend time with your lover, spend time with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost in prayer and Bible study. Prayer and Bible study. I'll give this to your pastor. It's the 10 biblical principles for prayer. And then on these other sheets, different emotions that you might feel and different Bible texts that will address all those emotions. You can have a conversation with God. You can develop a love relationship with God. And that's all you want to do. So there's somebody here, and you have problems, and you need special prayer. I'm going to ask you to stand up and come on down for special prayer. Don't worry about anybody else looking for you. Come on down. Your problems may have gained interest. Your problems may have problems. And you need special prayer today. You can stand where you are or come down as the Spirit of God moves in this place. Please come. Please come. This is powerful, powerful time with the Spirit of God here. I don't know, it could be the breakup of a marriage, the waywardness of a child, physical ailment. I don't know what it is, but you want a special prayer today. Come on down. Come. If the Lord can take a low-life sinner like myself and turn me into a gospel minister, you guys are a piece of cake. There's someone here. You may have allowed your great success or those problems to come between you and your relationship with Jesus. And you want your relationship with Jesus to be sweeter and fuller and fresher. Won't you stand where you are? God bless you. God bless you. There may be someone you've never had an opportunity to give your life to Christ, and you want to take Bible studies and prepare for the next baptism. Won't you let us see where you are? Won't you raise your hand or come down? Is there someone? Is there someone? Pastor, can you come and pray for us? We need you to come pray for us, Pastor. God bless you. Thank you.
Let's bow our heads, please. Lord God, we sense in the message we've heard this morning your call to us. We come with many concerns and many areas where we've experienced both joy and frustration. And we want to give those things to you this morning. We ask for you in your wisdom and in your love to act in the ways that you sense best for us. We invite you more deeply into our lives than ever before. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.